You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all great.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast, looking ahead to the action at Cheltenham on the first day of their international meeting. Sam Norris here, joined by Gary Capel, to preview a couple of the races on the card at Cheltenham. How are you, Gary?
Very good, thank you. Sam, yourself?
Good, yeah, not too bad.
Did you go to the Christmas do last night?
I did. Yeah,
and you're still in one piece, which is always always a bonus, having been to that a few times and knowing how raucous it can get.
Yeah.
And any stakes to report?
Not too much to report, no. I didn't last the duration though.
Oh really? Yeah. You have to be in early this morning.
Yeah, departed at the open ditch.
Yeah, it's never a good place to depart.
No, but yeah, it was a good two. You swerved it then, Gary.
I was working elsewhere. I'd got my rota for elsewhere before I knew the said date it was happening. Mm. But it looked like it was fun. I saw a few bits and pieces on Snapchat. Mm. So
you missed out on the free bar.
Always annoying to miss out on a free bar. It's not the fact that I've missed the Christmas do. I'll find the fact that I've missed the free bar more galling.
Yes.
But there you go.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's good to have Jumps Racing back as well on Thursday as well. We've had a couple of days without it due to the inclement weather conditions. And it was a nice card at Taunton, made all the more better by the Grade 2 Peterborough Chase, of course, moved from Huntingdon. A nice little coup for Taunton on what was already a half-decent midweek card.
Yeah, they put some decent prize money on always, don't they, Taunton? I don't think they have any hurdle races less than sort of 8 or 9 grand in prize money, I don't think. I think it is eight. Nice to see them get a decent prize. I think it was important that the race was run at a right-handed track, which obviously Taunton is, obviously Huntingdon is as well. And yeah, I mean, they could have easily kept it in the same like the Jockey Brace course. Taunton's an independent course, so yeah, I think it's nice for them to have a big race and the spotlight on them for a change. It's a lovely track. I mean, been to Taunton quite a few times. Mm. So it's a long way, mind, but it's basically two straight roads. I enjoy my trips down there.
Won by Top Notch as well, who continues to impress this season. Only had four rivals to beat today, but
yeah, I mean, they didn't go much of a gallop, did they? And I think Joss's Hill for me is ready for a step back up in trip, but he jumped really well during the early stage of the race. The first couple down the back straight final circuit, he got in a little bit close, but as the tempo increased, his jumping got better again. He just got in a little bit close to the last, but as Ken pointed out before, and he's not the biggest horse, but I really like, bar those couple of errors, I like how he gets from A to B. Very economical, and it'd be interesting to see how they campaign him really now. Obviously, he's got a bit of Cheltenham form, but he might be better off for me. I'd save him for Punchestown because he's 5 from 5 right-handed now. So there are plenty of other races for him. Obviously, he's run well. He's run okay at Cheltenham in the past, but obviously he was second, I think, there at the festival, wasn't he? I prefer to see him going right-handed. I think he'd be ideal for Punchestown myself.
Okay. Where does he stand in your mind in terms of that division? Is he a little bit shy of being absolutely top class?
I think so, yeah. Obviously, he's won 2 graded races on the spin now, but he's only a 6-year-old, so he does have the... He may well have a little bit more to come, but me personally, yeah, I think he's just a little bit short of that top bracket, for all that he's still a very good horse.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to crib him, but at the same time, he doesn't sort of blow you away and doesn't appear as though he's an absolute superstar.
I don't think he's ever going to be that type of horse either. I mean, just look at his record, though. He's ever since he came to the UK, he's been on a real roll, and he's 20. Well, that's 21 runs now and 12 victories, so, and he's now 6 from 9 over fences, and he's been in the frame the others, and he's a very good horse, don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously he was beaten at Aintree, wasn't he? Yeah. Last year he was third in the race which Flying Angel won, the Group 1 there, over 2.5 miles. It's tricky, really, because, well, I suppose, bar the Melling Chase, I think it's called the Melling Chase, or the 2.5 mile, yeah. Anyway, I think it is the Melling Chase, there's no sort of real championship race over two. I know the Ryanair's 2 mile, 5.5, but that's on a very stiff track and ever slightly further. So, having said that, I suppose I'm not sure what his ideal race would be at Punchestown. I mean, he said he'd be better off going there. But there we go. Might yeah, very good horse. Might not be the easiest to place, as it sounds.
Yeah.
To find his optimum conditions, anyway.
His ideal target is a race that doesn't exist, really.
Yeah. I think so.
Top Notch will get the headlines on Thursday, but we must mention Richard Mitford Slade as well. A real hat tip to him. His first runner under Rules Gary, and 100-1 winner at his local track. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, he's obviously... I'm pretty sure he's had plenty of horses that he's owned in the past running these colours. There's actually four. Richard Woolacott, who found out that his wife was training Samuel Jackson in his point-to-point days. And, yeah, there was no fluke about that. When he was 100-1, but he was a big old unit, and the front pair pulled a long way clear of anything else, but it was more how he went through the race, really. And... yeah, good performance.
Mm. And when you look at some of the other trainers who had contenders in the race, Harry Fry, Nicky Henderson, Paul Nichols, Alan King.
Yeah,
it was listed with top names.
I'm going to say it was a pretty decent novice hurdle, so yeah, well done.
Absolutely. One final point then before we move on to take a look at some of Friday's action at Cheltenham. Just want a quick mention for Hayley Turner. Obviously, the news breaking today that she's going to serve a 3-month suspension for betting infractions. Has she been hard done to? Should she have been more careful? Is there anything to glean from the situation?
It's a tricky one, really, because we don't want to hear about these types of things happening, really. But, I mean, she was quite open about it. She's fully cooperated, I'm sure. Well, I'm sure she was going to have to, really. But, I mean, she wasn't actually riding, per se, really much in the UK whilst this was going on. I understand why the BHA have to set a precedent, really. So, I completely understand that. It's not something that's sort of really going to tear me up one way or the other what happened, really, to be perfectly honest. But I'm sure it probably has done fairly for quite some time, and I'm sure should be relieved for the hearing to have gone as it has done.
On to Cheltenham then, the first day of their international meeting on Friday. Good racing elsewhere as well from Doncaster. We've also got Bangor, Chelmsford and Dundalk on the programme on Friday. But we take a look ahead to a couple of races from Cheltenham now, beginning with the 2:30, one of the feature races of the day, this Grade 3 handicap chase over 3 miles and 2 furlongs. 6 runners down to take their chance in this one, Gary, in the market likely to headed by what's his name for Harry Fry and Noel Feely.
Yeah, horse who I like. Been on the tracker since I saw him win at Yatoxta back in May of 2016. Sean Bowen rode him on that occasion. He then has had quite a bit of breaks in between his racing, really. He was second at Aintree on his chasing debut back in November of last year, and then they decided to send him back over hurdles, and he ran in the one of the races at Musselburgh on trials. They finished fourth on that occasion. Got beat, actually, on his chasing debut back in October at Exeter before winning in handicap company there last time out off a mark of 135. He's gone up to 140 ahead of this race, but he's an unexposed 7-year-old, and he's improving all the time. Harry Fry's horse is continuing to go quite well, and he's a horse who I think will be suited by the track. Plenty of horses you can give chances to. I mean, Southfield Theatre hasn't had much racing of late. Got the blinkers on for the first time. Finished fourth at Wincanton on his seasonal debut, but disappointing just the other day at Sandown. Blinkers on instead of the cheap pieces. Probably well handicapped, but you couldn't back him on what he's been showing of late. Mystery looks an out-and-out galloper. He won the Ida last year, was second in the Midlands National when he was last seen. Obviously first run since then. Not entitled to improve a little bit for the outing, and whether he'd want a little bit further than this, I think, would probably be ideal. And Robbins Firth, who finished second just the other day, that was 3 weeks ago back, here at Cheltenham, It was at Haydock, behind Chase the Spud. He actually ran here prior to that, rather, what I should have said, finished fourth behind Cogri here on his seasonal reappearance. Second behind Chase the Spud last time out in pretty bad conditions, really. He did get badly hampered, though, in the early stages of that race, but he was well beaten ultimately. He might have a little bit more to come, actually, but What's-His-Name is a horse that I do like, and he would be the pick in that 2.30.
What's-His-Name gets the vote in the 2.30 race at Cheltenham, and then we stay at Prestbury Park for the next race on today's podcast. This is the 3.40, a hurdle race this time. Class 2 handicap hurdle over just shy of 3 miles. Got a field of 11 taking their chance in here, and a fair few bringing winning form into the race, Gary. It looks a good heat.
Yeah, it does. I'm going to begin with a horse who obviously ran over sort of fences last season. He was a pretty decent novice hurdler, though. Champers on Ice. He was obviously third in the Albert Bartlett hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival back in March of 2016. He actually won on his chasing debut at Uttoxeter last year. He didn't really beat much. And then he was second behind American and sixth here on trial, say, behind Royal Vocation before. Not really much of a race, really, in the four-miler behind Tiger Roll. Finished fifth the other day at Haydock in that race, won by Sam Spinner. Very much shaping as though he needed the run. That was off a mark of 143. Handicapper very kindly dropped him a pound. He needed that run for me. David Pipe's horse has just been ticking over okay of late as well. So I think he has to be given some sort of consideration. Sykes, another one who won at Foss last the other day. I think this is a stronger race, though, and he went up £9 for that success. Down towards the bottom, Jester Jett has won four of her last six starts, winning at Plumpton the other day. Again, this is a better race, but it's due to go up £4 further, even given the £6 penalty here, so it's interesting. And Arthur's Gift has won at Worcester, and I was impressed with the market raising the other day as well. We got up £9 after that win. But Tom Humphreys, who gets on quite well with him. Fly Camp for the Henderson team hasn't been seen for quite some time. Was running in the, I think it was the EVF final at Sandown back in March. He pulled up that day, went into that race with plenty of ones and twos next to his name, so he's interesting on his first run, and first run of the season. And likewise, Rocky's Treasure, who won a good few races in the spring, was third here the other day at the open meeting. But the one I'm going to go for is the Dutchman. You formerly trained by Sandy Thompson in the same colours, actually. Still, now that it's joined the Colin Tizard yard. Obviously, won a couple of races last year at, one at Wetherby, was the second in a couple of races as well at Newmarket and at Musselburgh. Had 217 days off before finishing second in that race behind Sam Spinner at Haydock. He had no chance with him on that particular occasion. He's actually gone up a couple of pounds for that run, believe it or not. But he would be the pick anyway. Horse who does stay particularly well. And so second run for the Colin Tizard team. May well have improved a bit for that outing as well. And looks fairly sort of treated, I think, still off a mark of 137. So the Dutchman would be the pick in that final race at Cheltenham.
The Dutchman it is then for Colin Tizard and Robbie Power. Gary, selection in the 3.40 contest. Just quickly remind us, please, then, your two runners to mark our cards with at Cheltenham on Friday.
Yeah, in the 2.30, What's-His-Name for Harry Fry, and in the 3.40, the final race, the Dutchman for Colin Tizard.
Brilliant stuff. The thoughts of Gary Capel then ahead of Friday's racing at Cheltenham. Tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio live from 11.40am with Gordon Brown, Sean Quinn and Kevin O'Malley to catch all of the action from both sides of the Irish Sea on Friday. Thank you for that, Gary, and enjoy the action.
Yeah, pleasure as always, and Merry Christmas to all the listeners.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.